Well, we begin this series on David this morning, so we're going to be in Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 16. I'm going to bring you up to a place where, to bring you up to this place. We have a few characters that we're going to share about here before we begin. One is King Saul, who is the king at that moment. God's people, Israel, wanted to have a king. And so God said, "You want to have a king? So be it." And King Saul became the king. But also we have another character named Samuel. He is the one that Hannah had prayed for, who couldn't have a child. Samuel has grown up, and he is also holds about at least three positions. He is a priest, a prophet, and he is a judge. And so he is the judge that carries. He was the last judge. The judge that carries over. We had the judges before kings, and then he's the last judge, and then they wanted a king. And God didn't really want them to have that, but that's what they insisted on having. So sometimes it's not always good to get what you want. But we see now that Saul has been king, and Saul might be a strong warrior, but he is weak in many areas of his leadership. He's always fearful of the crowd and what they want, and God has told him to do certain things, and he just rebelled. He just didn't obey God. He just wanted to do his own thing. Anytime you want to do your own thing, it doesn't usually work out. If you're a believer and you want to do your own thing and you want to go against the Lord, it's probably not going to work out for you. And it definitely did not work out for King Saul, and God is upset with that. So he is now talking to Samuel, and that's where we're going to begin. So let's pray. Father, we just ask for your presence upon this message this morning, Lord, knowing that your presence is already here with our music and our worship. And we pray, Father, that our eyes and our ears would be open today for what you would show us and teach us. In Christ's name, amen. So we see here in 1 Samuel chapter 16, we see now that the Lord said to Samuel in verse 1, "How long are you going to mourn for Saul, since I have rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I am sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem because I have selected a king from his sons." So God has already got to this point. He has rejected King Saul. And now he's going to pick someone to replace him. And because Samuel was, he was mourning for that. He wanted a king to be in there that loved God, that would follow God. And he knew that God rejected him. So we have this person in between that is mourning. But the Lord says, "How long are you going to mourn?" It's time that we do something. And the Lord says, "I have a plan. And I want you to go to this family, a man named Jesse. He has sons, and I'm going to show you who they're. And I'll pick a king from his sons." And so things are changing. And you want to know something? King Saul doesn't even know it. Israel doesn't even know it. God is doing things in this nation that you don't even know about. God's doing things in our families that we don't even know about yet. God's doing things in his kingdom that we don't even know about. God is always doing things and always doing more than what we can see. Amen? And I don't need to see it all. I don't need to see it all. And neither do you. It's just too big for us. It's just too big for us. So Samuel is going to be on his way. And so this whole series really is about David, the boy, David, the man, David, the king. And so we're going to work through this in 5 weeks. We're going to work through. We're not going to be able to hit all of these things because David is an amazing man. He's amazing stories, so many of them that we can't really work all of them in. But we're going to hit some of the ones that we may not hear so much about. We're going to skip over David fighting Goliath. We're going to skip over that one. I want to get some of these that we've not really maybe know so much about, because David was much bigger than him just defeating a giant. Amen? If you know the word, it's much bigger than that. But Samuel has been sent to this family. He's going to go to Bethlehem. And so here we go down to verse 5. He says, "I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves. Come with me to the sacrifice." And then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. And when they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and said, "Certainly the Lord's anointed one is here before him." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look at his appearance for his stature, because I have rejected him. Humans do not see what the Lord sees, for humans see what is visible, but the Lord sees the heart. This is such a big piece here. So we see Samuel coming into the house of Jesse. Jesse has 8 sons. 7 of them are right in front of him. And of course, he wants to look at the oldest because in their tradition, their culture, oldest got so many things and they were blessed. They were the first ones blessed, blessed with the family, the main inheritance, more than the rest, all those kind of things. Of course, Eliab would be the first choice. But here it is. God says, not that one. And it goes down. So Solomon, the Lord is sharing with Solomon, is, I don't pick by way you pick. I don't pick the way you pick. Humans, we pick by looks. We pick by status. We pick by giftedness and talents and all those things that we look at. There's nothing wrong with giftedness and talent. There's nothing wrong with good life. There's nothing wrong with those things. But we, so many times as humans, we just pick because the way someone looks, what someone has, the statue, where they are, their stature, all those things. We look at that and we don't look at the heart. But God says he looks at the heart. I don't think Israel would be in the mess they're in if they had a king who had a heart for God. His heart was already messed up. So we see this. It is something that the Lord says, it is the heart that I look at. Now we can dress up today. We can dress up however we want today. But we are to take care of ourselves and to, you know, I always say this. Would you come to church and worship God and then go home and get dressed and go on a date if you're single? And dress up better for a date than you would worship? I'm just asking. You see, sometimes we take things for granted. We take the idea that we can just come to church any way that we want. And so sometimes there's a part that we need to give God reverence. Now, this church doesn't say too much about that because we struggle with giving God reverence at times. We'll give him our worship, but we don't give him the best of other things. We need to watch ourselves with that. We need to watch ourselves with that. But here it is. This is why he says, comes back and he says to consecrate yourself. That means you need to get yourself right with God. You need to consecrate yourself, which means you separate from everything of the world right now and get yourself ready to get in front of this prophet. This prophet's got a word from God. Because people actually, scriptures prior, which we're not going to be able to talk about much, but here it is. Even people feared what Solomon could do. It's the whole thing. Solomon's a very powerful person. It's not because he's really a powerful person. It's what God has done through him. And people were fearing God through this prophet. And so here it is. He comes in. He says, I've come to sacrifice. Here it is. You boys and sir, your family, you need to consecrate yourselves. And then they consecrate themselves. And then the prophet says, consecrates them to separate, get themselves ready to hear what the Lord has to say. And the Lord has... He doesn't choose any of them. He doesn't choose them. But they were preparing themselves. I think we need to prepare ourselves when we come to worship. Amen? Amen? Now listen, I'll accept anybody in this church that comes in with an AC/DC shirt or whatever. I've seen all kinds of people wear, you know, Eminem or whatever it is. You know, some things that just might not just be as right or something that we just may not say, man, you wore that to worship. You know what? We are believers. We should know what we should know what to do. Amen. The lost doesn't know what to do. We need to love them as they are, and then that's what the word discipleship starts to do. We start to work with them and lead them to the Lord and those kind of things. And so I'm not saying that today that you should be wearing suits or any of that stuff. I'm not telling you that. Okay, I'm just telling you to give reverence to the things of God. Start doing that. And I'm just telling you, that is, God sees that. All the things that they did in the Old Testament were not a waste of time. We look at that and say, ooh, I'm glad I wasn't at that time. But it was always preparing themselves to stand before the Lord. And we take the Holy Spirit for granted, folks. I'm telling you, we take the Holy Spirit for granted. We need to be cautious. There is the fear of the Lord and it's the beginning of wisdom, beginning of knowledge. It is. And so here it is. They've set themselves ready to go. And the prophet says, the Lord has rejected him. And then we go down to verse 10. After Jesse presented 7 of his sons to him, Samuel told Jesse, the Lord hasn't chosen any of these. Samuel asked him, are there any sons you have? The Lord rejected all 7 of them. Was that a waste of time to consecrate themselves? No, it was not a waste of time. There is still the youngest. he answered. But right now he's tending the sheep. Samuel told Jesse, send for him. We won't sit down to eat until he gets here. So Jesse sent for him. He had a beautiful eyes and a healthy and handsome appearance. Then the Lord said, anoint him, for he is the one. So Solomon took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully on David from that day forward. And then Solomon went out to Ramah. And he left. So here, something major has happened here. The Lord rejected all seven sons to be king. But listen, he did not reject them personally. He rejected them as a king. Okay? But also we see a piece here that we see David here as also being, it says that he had beautiful eyes, he's healthy, and a handsome appearance. God doesn't just pick, sometimes we get to that point where God only picks those people that are nothing. And, oh no, David's a good looking kid. David's probably been anywhere from about 13 to 16, maybe 17 at this point. He's pretty young. He's very young at this point. God is patient. God has callings on people all the time, even in their young age, and they don't realize the full potential and what God is calling them to do. And here we see a couple of things. It says, one, the boys were all impressed. I think there's something else that was going on here. The prophet came, did this in front of the whole family, and all the seven brothers were there, and Samuel anointed David in front of his brothers, and that was really important. They now become witness to their brother being anointed, the youngest. We kind of saw that story happen a little bit, not being anointed, but we kind of saw that back in Genesis with a young boy named Joseph, right? And we saw how the brothers were just mean and ugly to him and sold him into slavery and all those kind of things. But here we find out that these boys right here also saw that their brother, the youngest, was anointed. Folks, that was very, very important for these boys to be there. Later on, many of them are going to be in his service in the future. But right now, he is the youngest. Where was he at? He was out taking care of the sheep, the family, and the sheep. Kind of wonder what these other guys were doing, but it is David was out doing his thing. But it says the Spirit of the Lord came upon him in a powerful way, very powerfully. Let me tell you, folks, when you became a Christian and you received the Holy Spirit, I'm going to tell you, you became more different than you ever could imagine when you became a believer. Everything changed. It's an amazing piece. But what we see here, this boy who's a shepherd comes into this place. He's just coming home, and he don't even know what's getting ready to happen. God has chosen him. He doesn't even know it. God has chosen him, and he walks in the house as the youngest, and he's dirty, and he smells like sheep, and he's going to walk out. He's still walking out the youngest, and he's still smelling like sheep. And I want to tell you something. The Lord put his hand upon him. The Lord gave him his spirit, and he was anointed. And he was anointed. And so things are going to change. Things are going to change for David. And David, God allows something to happen to King Saul. An evil spirit begins to come down and visit King Saul, and it gives him problems. And so, long story short, David comes in. Somebody knew who David was. He comes in because David was kind of a musician as well. I want to read this scripture to you because I think it's very important. In verse 21, it says, so David has played music in front of Saul. And it says, when David came to Saul and entered his service, Saul loved him very much, and David became his armor bearer. Then Saul sent word to Jesse, let David remain in my service, for he has found favor with me. And whenever the Spirit from God came on Saul, David would pick up his lyre and play, and Saul would then be relieved, feel better, and the evil spirit would leave him. And we think, okay, what's really that all about? Well, this is the way God is getting him into where he's going to be going. God has a way of opening a door that you cannot open and I cannot open. And so what we see here, a couple of things. Now David is picking up another role. He's picked up another role. Now I want to share with you, the reason I'm bringing all this together is there's something about these stories. There's all kinds of little pockets to choose from. But I wanted to share with you on how this kind of can help, we can learn from this with New Life. David is a shepherd boy. That's what he is. David is a shepherd boy. David is a shepherd boy. Now he's anointed. He has God's Spirit. God has moved strategically him into the throne room with King Saul. He has a gift. He can play music. And he's playing music so that this evil spirit will go away when it comes to visit. Now I just want to give you a high note of that. What do you think David is playing? David is playing worship songs about God. That's what he's doing. He's playing worship songs about God. So he's worshiping. So the evil spirit leaves, and so it brings relief to King Saul. But Saul says, you know what? I would love this kid. I want him to be an armor bearer. That means he's going to be by my side. But also, when I have this spirit, he's going to come and do that. I want to share something with you. In chapter 17, where, like I said, we're not going into the battle of David and Goliath, but there's something in 17 that brings this to a peace. Here it goes. In chapter 17, verse 15, these guys are at this battle of this giants coming out, saying all these things. But here it goes, verse 15. It's a very small verse, but it's very powerful. It says, let me read 14. And David was the youngest. The three oldest had followed Saul. Three of the oldest went out to this battlefield. Verse 15. But David kept going back and forth from Saul to tend his father's flock in Bethlehem. So here it is. He's an armor bearer. He's a musician. He's anointed. But here it is. So many people would say, bye, Dad, I'm done. But David keeps going back to his dad's house, taking care of the sheep. I want to tell you something. When you begin to follow God, the pressure is going to happen. When you begin to follow God and let God begin to use you, you're going to have a lot more weight that you've never been in. You're going to have a lot more weight in this world. God's going to have you doing things that you can never do in your own power. But even with that, sometimes it feels like it's really, really heavy. Because it is really, really heavy. It's been just so much easier to say, Lord, just let me stay a shepherd boy. I love my family. I love what I have. I love being out there in the field. I love sheep. But God says, I have chosen you, son. I have chosen you. And you're going to be anointed. You're going to be the king. And there's going to be a whole line of trials and tribulations before he becomes king. I want to tell you, to follow Jesus, it's hard. I'm telling you, to do what God's called you to do, it's hard. To be what God's called you to do, it's hard. There is trials, there is tribulations, there's persecution, there's all kinds of things. But it's all good. Because that's what God's called you to. Pastoring is hard. Pastors' wives, it is difficult. Leading music is difficult. Teaching classes is difficult. But sometimes God says, I see that, but here it is. Now I want you to do more. There is nothing wrong with doing more. And that goes against a lot of my pastor peers. I'm telling you, so many of my pastor peers, I love them, but they're like, you can only do so much. You do as much as God tells you to do. Why we keep putting a cap on what we feel we can and cannot do? If it was what I feel and what I can and cannot do in my own thing, I wouldn't be here today. I'd be doing my own thing. But when you let God do it, that's what the scripture means. I can do all things through Christ. That's what it means. It's not a sticker on the back of a car just saying I can do anything I want. No, it's when it gets tough, even though I can't do it, I know that I can do it through Christ. This is why David's able to go in. David had no plans to go into the kingdom. He had no plans of going to the home to the nation's capital and start serving there, an armor bearer and a musician. But he also remembered, I have a family person. I have family responsibilities. If I don't go back and watch the sheep, that's my. So he's running back, going back to the sheep. He's taking care of them, getting up in the morning. Got to go back to the sheep. Coming back over here to the kingdom, serving God over, or serving the serving King Saul over here. Armor bearer, got to do all those things. Got to learn how to be a soldier. That's what an armor bearer does. It's like a squire to a knight. Got to learn how to fight. Got to go to bed. Everybody goes to bed. He's going to go home, try to get a couple hours sleep, going over here and serve and go back to feeding these sheep, taking care of those sheep. Got to get up in the morning. Got to go back here before they all get up, come back over here. And I got to get up here and do all this stuff. Oh, yeah. that demonic demon is over there on King Saul again. I go pick up my lyre, guitar, whatever it is, and play that thing. And it's like, okay, it's gone. Put it down. I got to run back over here. That's the life of a believer that's following Christ. Why do we say that we can't serve? I got too much on me. There is times when we can do too much. But I'm telling you, when you start, listen, testimonies don't come from sitting at home in a chair. Testimonies don't come just by doing the one thing because I feel that's all I can do. Testimonies come when you're at your wits' end, when you're at the end of the road. You feel like you can't go where you feel like you need to go. And you feel like your back's against the wall because everything's coming upon you. But you know who you are in Christ. And you can go back to the Word. And you can read these stories. And you can say, Lord, show. Listen, you can show. Say, it's okay to serve God and work hard. Because He has no idea what's coming in the future. You think taking care of sheep? Playing a guitar in front of, and a lyre in front of, playing some music to this demon to go away from time to time and to learn how to battle. He's going to have to learn how to lead a nation. So God's having him out here learning how to take care of sheep. Scripture also says He also killed a bear, lions, and anybody else, people that came out there and threatened their livelihood as a family. Running back and forth. Listen, you got one shot in this world, one time, one life in this timeline of the world. Live it for Jesus and live it well. Work hard, serve hard. And you need a break, take a break. Then get back on track and get moving. Samuel says God doesn't look at the outside. God looks at the heart. This boy was getting up every day taking care of what he needed to take care of. This boy was doing everything he needed to. He had seven other brothers, probably. Some of them probably pushing him around a little bit. But he had seven other brothers to watch to see how you do it right and how you do it wrong. He's going to be probably the most gifted one out of all of them how to take care of things yet. But he is the youngest. And God is going to put him through a school like no other. God didn't start him at 30, 40, or anything like that. God has started him already. And God looked all over Israel and said, I picked that boy. That's the boy I want right there. What that tells me, it says, the scripture says that God sees the heart. God must have examined every heart in Israel and said, I want that one. He's out there just doing all that he's doing. Doing a good job. For his father and his family. And here he is. Running back and forth. What does that all mean to us? Folks, I want to tell you right now that we have a lot of positions that are open in this church. A lot. More than normal and more than we should. Having seven buildings and having a church, I think our church average right now this year is just over 100. You who we get to pick. We're sending off this young couple to start a church in Fort Wayne. Because I want to? No. Because they want to? No. Because God wants to. So we are going to send them away. And they have been under mine and under the church's teachings and discipleship making and all those things to get them to a place that now God is wanting to move them out of here and go into Fort Wayne and start a church there. And there's a couple of couples here are going to be going with them. So what does that mean for us? Well, it means we need a music leader. We need Sunday school teachers. We have a fusion group, which is 18 to 25 position that's open. We have all these. We have some board members positions that it wasn't just that they were holding, but we had some other people. We have positions from some boards and staff. We have a lot of positions, and you are who we're going to be choosing from. And you have to be a member of the church. So guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to the Lord and say, Lord, who do you want? Because I don't pick. I can't see everything. And I'm going to make some visits and I'm going to make some phone calls. And I can't wait. I can't wait 6 months. We cannot afford to wait. Some things take some training. We cannot afford to wait. We have to move strategically. We have to move sooner than later. With a church plant, you never know exactly when it's going to open. When you say, oh, God's called us a church plant, we're going to go. But you don't know exactly when that's going to happen. But you have to prepare as that's going to happen, like, very quickly. And when you start seeing them, so they had been meeting once a month for the last couple of months on a Saturday, once a month or twice every 2 weeks. And so basically someone come to the Lord in one of their Saturday meetings. You know what that is? That's another confirmation that they're doing what God's calling them to do. People that they're asking to come into their own home. And when they get to talk about discipleship and what this church looks like and someone comes to Jesus, then you know, like, wow, this Lord's already working. It's going to happen. But in the home front here, we're going to have some empty spots. And I'm going to tell you, some of us over here that's been taking care of the sheep is going to have to start doing some of this back and forth stuff. And this is where everybody goes, oh, not me. Oh, not me. Potential doesn't mean anything until you use it. You can have all the potential that a person can have, but until you get up and use it, it means absolutely nothing. A gift, a talent is good, but if you don't use it, it means absolutely nothing. How did all this start? It started in the last verse of chapter 15, in verse 34 or 35. Even to the day of his death, Samuel never saw Saul again. Samuel, let me reread that again. Even to the death, to the day of his death, Samuel never saw Saul again. Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord regretted he had made Saul king over Israel. You don't see the Lord regretting too often in Scripture. You'll see it in Genesis chapter 6, where God says that he grieved that he made man. But here he says he regretted that he made Saul king. Was it that God made a mistake? No. No. The means I think it means really is God knew that man didn't have a heart for him already at the beginning. And if he didn't have a heart, he knew it was going to go south. But the people wanted a king. And when you get what you want and you leave God out of it, it will sink quick. So Saul, I would not want that. Saul is being replaced. God has a person he's chosen. He's chosen the boy, David. Some of you, God has things for you to do also. And my heart this morning is that we start getting some movement on some of these things. You can't do everything. And no one should be able to, no one will do. Our goal is not to do everything. Our goal is not to do something. Our goal is not to do five things. Our goal is always to do what God has set before us. And God has chosen a small church to do ministry. That is just messy and different. Makes no sense for the church to have seven properties, seven buildings, eight properties. It makes no sense. But what it does, when I say that, it makes no sense to us. You got that? It makes no sense to us, but to him, it makes all sense. Because he knows if we have the Holy Spirit and we are obedient to him, that we can do all things. All things that God has called us to do. All the things that God put before us. We can do all things. Through Christ. Strengthens us. Maybe it's time to move from tending sheep. Maybe to continue to tend sheep and add something. I don't know. So my poll for you, my request for you today is to just ask God to examine your own heart. Not you to look at it, because I'm going to be too nice to myself. If I judge myself, I'm going to be too easy. We always are very easy on ourselves. And you know when you do that, when you ask God, God, I don't know what's going on. I want you to examine me, look at my heart. Tell me what I need to adjust. Tell me what would you just take a look at me? What you're doing is asking God to put his hands upon you. And God will do that. Holy Spirit will reveal what the truth is. Not your truth, not my truth, but his truth. Scripture says, where much is given, much is acquired. Pay attention to this. Where much has been entrusted, much more will be asked for. That is exactly what happened with David. Where much is given, much is acquired. But here it is. Where much has been entrusted, much more will be asked for. Whatever God's given to David, he was entrusted with it. And God expected more with it. And God gave him more. And God continued to watch him. And he was faithful. And God continued to give him more. And more doesn't mean, oh, it's going to be fun. More doesn't mean it's going to be prosperity. It's what many people preach. More doesn't mean it's going to be more for you in your pocket and your bank account. No. More means God calls you to do more, which sometimes means more is more, I don't want to scare you, but just more hardships. More harder times. More tough times. But I do want to tell you, there's no better joy, even in hardship, than to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Being obedient to him, even in hardship. Father, as we get ready to take this moment, this service into our next parts, I pray, Father, that your Spirit would look over this community of people, this church, Lord, even though there may be some that are missing. Lord, we'll pick it up again next week. But I pray, Father, Lord, that your Spirit would be upon those that are here today, that you'll examine their hearts and our spirits today, that we might be right with you and in tune with your Holy Spirit, that you may do what you called each of us to do. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.